This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode is brought to you by Our Pilates, physio-led on-demand Pilates classes designed for new mums of all fitness levels and at any stage of their postpartum journey. I particularly love the 8-week postnatal program. It's designed and instructed by Han, who's not only a physiotherapist, she's also a mother of two with 15 years of experience. This program is the perfect way to build up some strength in a way that is safe. It's done from home. It doesn't take up too much time, which we know is hard to come by in the early days of motherhood. And guess what? They're giving Ready or Not listeners an entire free month of classes. To redeem your complimentary month of Our Pilates and access a huge library of classes, simply head to their website in our show notes, that's ourpilates.com.au, and enter the code ReadyOrNot, all one word, when creating an account and select the monthly membership option. Rebuild strength and confidence from the comfort of your home during nap times whenever you get a moment to yourself, and enjoy the feeling of rebuilding some strength with Our Pilates. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou.
I'm Loz, and I'm going to kick things off with a good, not good if or good but, just a good news story this week. A friend of mine sent me an article a few weeks back, actually, and it was about how more male lawyers are taking parental leave and how it is reshaping law. This is largely due, and I thought this was quite a bit of a cackle, it's largely due to many lawyers being ineligible for the government scheme due to their incomes that exceed the limit. So what happens when you don't get government leave? You've got to look at what the parental policies are internally and you've got to take them.
That's a good little consequence from being rich. I like it. I like it.
You know what? I know it's like, oh, we always say, oh, but they're earning so much money, whatever. Mate, they're entitled. Like everybody
Everyone
else.
Everyone should get something.
To spend time with their children.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, the government should look after everyone because otherwise it creates disparities between men and women. So I agree. As much as I am a little bit of a lefty and like that, you know, rich people should probably take more of the burden if they have the money. I definitely agree that everyone deserves something.
Yeah, and it is a good news story because I'm like, lawyers notoriously work very long hours. They're very stressed. They often have
male dominated industry, but a very sort of historically you think of males when you think of law.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's a great thing that more male partners, more male lawyers are taking the parental leave that they should be taking. That's why these policies exist. So
bloody oath.
I think it's a good
setting
one.
The path in, yeah, an industry that I think the 70-year-olds in that field would go, why is who taking leave? So good on your male lawyers. Love it. I have a few follow-ups for you. Firstly, have you watched Apple Cider Vinegar yet? I know we're probably a bit behind, to be honest, because we're just an independent little podcast of two and everyone's probably spoken about it by now, but have you watched it?
No, but fun fact, a girl in my team is an extra in it.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
We should get
I need to watch it.
I pack it.
It's on my list.
Please watch it ASAP, which for you will take 6 months, let's be honest. You're very quick. Something's very slow with others. It's so unbelievable. And in amongst the horror of what Belle Gibson did, I just want to call out. She exhibits signs of weird behavior and untrustworthy behavior. And she shows some sociopathic tendencies. Is that a word? Anyway,
yes.
I just want to say, and I know I'm always this person, but what really upsets me and that I can't help but feeling a tiny bit sorry for is it really, to me, exemplifies how the government and society lets down unwell people and then what the ripple effects of that are. She seemed mentally unwell from a young age. And if we actually took mental health seriously, I would love to see like what people wouldn't have murdered people and how people would have stayed out of jail and been better supported. The ripple effects of really mentally unstable people in society is huge. So I just want to call out that. And I wonder if that's anyone else's take, but my God, it doesn't take away from the horrible things that she did. It's really hard to watch. And I hate to say as a mum, but since having kids, like I knew her story at the time and what she did. But
yes.
Since having kids, knowing not only that she was a mum, but what she did to other mums with their sick children in terms of pretending to fundraise for them, but then using the money herself.
Oh, it's so scary to watch. Next up, Nell Frizzell, who we're both obsessed with, who was on the Ready or Not podcast. Firm top three or top five for both of us in terms of interviews. She's released another book, I think late last year, called Cuckoo. It's really good. It's about a girl or a daughter in her late 30s, I think, who becomes pregnant, but she also finds out things about her dad and her family along the way. It's a great story. Absolutely loving it. Nearly finished. And lastly, I obviously don't have much space in our fridge at the moment. I had some leftover kale. I've brought some tins of beans and all sorts of things with me because I'm a weirdo. And I just have a bit of a recipe hack, not so much for you, my darling, because we know.
When you said leftover kale, I'm like, who's got kale? Like, who's buying this stuff? What's going on here?
Me and Belle Gibson. Me and Belle Gibson. Yeah. I had some leftover kale. The older I get, I think it's an aging thing where I hate waste. I just hate it. So I had some leftover kale. I was starving, hadn't had lunch the other day. I brought my NutriBullet with me. Cooked some kale and some chickpeas on the barbecue, blitzed them with heaps of lemon, olive oil, salt, pepper, and a bit of feta, made a gorgeous paste to put into toasties and on top of toast with eggs and whatnot. Delicious. Really loved it.
You are so good with that stuff. I would never.
Some cumin and paprika. I would never. Though, your leftover shit. You could do it with anything. Bit of beans, bit of feta.
I'll tell you what happens to my leftover shit. It either goes into a zucchini.
That's all right. That's good. Great.
Which the kid's like, Mom,
I'm sick of it. That's a course special, the zucchini slice.
Yeah. All right, listen, shove it in spag bowl, which is equally as disgusting.
No, that's brilliant, Lozzie. I thought you were going to say you throw it in the bin. I love it.
I also do that. Like if that lettuce, if spinach,
lettuce
for example.
Lettuce is hard. Oh, spinach is disgusting
if it gets
when it's
wet,
going off.
It's a hard no. It's disgusting.
No, I'll respect that. But no, I'm really impressed with what you're doing there. So anyone that's got your Tide veg, try use it, unless it's your yucky spinach or lettuce. So what are we talking about today? The reality behind mumfluencer money and working motherhood. Looking forward to hearing about that from you. And then next up, how entitled could you be? A TikTok video on stay-at-home motherhood by UPS driver JR Minton has gone viral, but it's not what you think. Take it away, my friend.
The reality behind mumfluencer money and working motherhood. Okay. I'm not sure that many of our listeners will have seen this, so I want to provide a link.
I actually don't know anything. Like, it's not even something that I've seen a headline for, so I'm really excited.
Okay. Yeah. So I stumbled across this lady the other day, and as I do, got into this, like, deep hole of, like, following her, and then it became a discussion in our group thread. I'm not sure how well she's known. I'm sure it's, like, quite well. But it wasn't within my circles until this video.
Does she have a lot of followers? Is that why you're assuming?
Yes. Yeah. So her name is Katie Bunton. There's a whole situation around her. If you missed it, which you most likely have, but I want to send you the link because I think it's a very relevant topic of conversation. I'm not saying that her specific scenario is relevant, but I think we actually need to have the conversation around it. So Katie has built a following as a mumfluencer. So she posted a TikTok using a trending sound, you know, just to capture the cool people out there that do that, follow the audio reels, to announce that her partner, the main breadwinner, had lost his job. That meant that they could no longer afford to rent and had to move in with her mother-in-law. At first, people thought it was a joke, but it wasn't. Now, this went viral, not just because of the news itself, but because it tapped into a conversation that's been simmering for years, the privilege gap in mumfluencing versus real working motherhood. What Katie got right. So I want to start with the positives. So she owned her privilege. Here's the thing. I actually admire that Katie was honest about her financial reality. So she could have sugarcoated it. She could have kept up an image. Instead, she put it out there. Quite frankly, I think that's quite rare. I haven't seen. And I think this is why this whole movement started, right? Because not many people acknowledge what their finances are or like their financial situation. It always looks like a highlights reel, which is exactly what these platforms are designed for. A lot of influencers maintain the illusion that they're self-made, which some are. I'm not going to lie. Like, this is why I wanted to have the conversation. Even when they have massive safety nets behind the scenes. So Katie's transparency opened up an important conversation. What does financial struggle actually look like? Because let's be real, most working mums facing financial stress don't have the option of moving in with family. They don't have a built-in safety net, and they definitely don't have a platform where their struggle might actually help them generate income.
Oh, you've got me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. I just could not stop looking at this reel, right? And since then, it's been like months. She's posted a bunch of things of like how their finances are going, what they're doing. And it's like, because of the drama and because people can relate to financial stress, because to be honest, everyone I know is in it in some form of way due to the cost of living. Oh, yeah,
you've heard of the cost of living crisis, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the people that we hang around, like our friends are genuinely experiencing it. I've got a lot of friends that rent that can't buy a house. I've got a lot of friends that have rent that's going up. They're looking at renting other places further out because the rent is too expensive. Like these are actual real problems, right? A big reason why I think this hit a bit of a nerve, particularly for me, is because we've been fed this idea that mumfluencing is like the ultimate work-life balance hack. I know that's a bit controversial, but I genuinely think a lot of people.
It's fair. And a lot of people like see that and they measure their lives against it and it's really hard to say.
So the message is often along the lines of, I left my job and built a brand from scratch. You can too.
Oh, and I'm here to tell you that I left a job.
It's fucking hard.
4 day a week income. After 2 years, it still hasn't.
Yeah. You don't need childcare. You just need a side hustle. I've seen
And this also comes back to, you know, that message that someone received that we were talking about the other week about judgment.
Oh, online. Yeah.
They're like, oh, you just need better working from home methods. I have my kids at home full time and I work full time. You're just not doing a good job of it.
Yep. Or this is the one that I've seen that is so dangerous recently. You can make money while being present with your kids. Here's how. I'm earning up to $4,000 a week just from being online. Bullshit.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Bullshit. And if you are, I swear to God, you're in the top 1% of Australians. But this is what often gets left out, the privilege behind the scenes. So many of these influencers selling the stay-at-home, be-your-own-boss dream, and I am going to say it is a dream. Number one, and this is controversial, but it has to be said, they've got a high-earning partner funding their early content days. So yeah. You are backed financially. Maybe it's not high-earning, but it could be somebody that is a safety net for you.
Comfortable.
That you think to yourself, I can take a time off, or not time off, but I can take time out to focus on content creation at no pay and try and get partners or whoever on board while my partner is earning a wage that's going to effectively cover our mortgage overheads, blah, 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 for X amount of time. That is a privilege. They've got family support with childcare or even housing, potentially. Maybe you live with your parents. Maybe parents can help out. Both you and I have that, and that is absolutely a privilege. So many of my friends do not.
Massive privilege.
Yeah, and they've got a financial cushion. So whether it's savings, whether it's, I don't know. Maybe
a financial cushion can even be your parents like letting you out if you really need to. Like they don't want to and they haven't said, we'll give you the money. But when push comes to shove, they can, which I fall in that position. Like I'm very privileged in that regard. And I'm actually going to talk about how this relates to me. Not that I've ever pushed an image of you can be like me too, but this is always something I've wanted to speak about in terms of how I got this podcast off the ground because I think people would say, how the fuck did she do that when she has limited time and all of that? So I want to talk about a few of the privileges I have. Keep going.
Yeah, so that financial cushion, whatever it may look like, allows people to take risks and build a brand, right? You got to take a risk. And while it's amazing that some people have those opportunities, to be quite frank, it is just not the reality for most working mums. Right? We're seeing so much of this content.
Yeah. For 80% of them, it's not possible.
It's not like possible.
You can't do that too because you have to go to work full time.
Correct.
You have to parent. And then you're trying to build this dream empire on the side? Who can do that?
And I'm not saying you can't do it. Yeah, but
it will be at a cost of something.
100%. It's at a cost of something. And I think people need to be realistic about what it takes, the hours, financial stuff aside, the hours, the lack of potentially a promotion because you're not available at work and you're working on something. It's all these combusting things, or I don't even know the right word for it. So for some context, I want to get into the stats because I'm a freak like that. The average Australian mum sees a 55% drop in income in the first 5 years after having kids. Childcare costs have risen by 14% in the last 2 years, and that's after subsidies.
Gee, that's nearly a fifth of a rise. That's huge.
Yep. Women, as we've spoken about a million times, still do 72% of unpaid domestic labour, meaning that starting a side hustle often just adds more to their mental load.
Yeah, and if you thought of that, let's pretend for a second that you worked in paid work and then you did obviously more of the parenting than your partner as these stats show. So then let's say of that hour makeup, 72% is domestic labour and you save the other 28% of working on your side hustle. That's another full-time job, literally another 100% of work outside of mothering and your own job.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you doing? Wild. Working till 3 a.m. every day. Like, yeah, it's, and then just, we need to be like realistic.
Getting sick, like getting a chronic illness.
Yeah. So while mumfluencers say, if I can do it, you can do it too. The truth is it's a lot easier if you have a financial buffer.
I want to bring a bit of my own context to this. I really hope that I've never portrayed an image of I can do this and you can too, because that's not the case. I've kept working throughout and I have been freelancing and I'm not some huge money maker. But when Hayes and I bought our first home, we borrowed the full amount, so we didn't get any money from parents. However, his parents owing little on the house that they owned meant that they could be our guarantors. So they guaranteed for us to get that full loan. If someone comes from a background of less privilege and you didn't have the savings to buy that first house, your parents won't be able to guarantee you because they haven't paid off enough of their loan to guarantee you for yours. So there's the first bit of privilege. We bought really cheaply down the coast. We bought a $530,000 house, which is almost inconceivable to think of now. Then we borrowed money from parents to renovate that house. We borrowed money from the bank and parents. That was $200,000. We spent up to $735,000, including buying and then renovating the house over a long period. It wasn't all overnight. It was like a five-year process, maybe even more. And when we sold, we got very lucky. It was the height of the pandemic when sales down the coast were going wild. We sold that house for double what we spent on it. We sold it for $144,000. And the privilege that earned us, because then we all of a sudden had this cash that we never expected, has meant that we've been allowed to make little allowances for me during this time of freelancing, being on parental leave and all those little things. And if you scale that back to the beginning, it is because we could get that guarantorship from Hayden's parents.
Exactly right.
And then we could borrow money off our parents to do the renovation. Most people cannot do those two things. And if I couldn't do either, I would have gone straight back to CA instead of doing a combination of freelancing and working on Ready or Not. So even my example, while I do not think for a second, and I hope you agree, that I've ever put out an image of like, you can do this too, you can create something, it all started on privilege for me. It's all privileges that not everyone gets.
And in fairness, even if you had that exact same situation and you sold now, you wouldn't make that money.
Yeah. So it was a bit of luck and it was also privilege. It was, getting a head start, which a lot of people don't get. And COVID was really a time for me when I was so uncomfortable with my privilege and so aware of how lucky we are, because you could, it was like a time where you could really see the difference between luck and what people could do. And it's just, I think it's such an interesting thing that you're bringing up and it's so important because it's not
so
just
important.
It's not going back to your job and making millions. It just doesn't happen.
Exactly right. And I have to be, I mean, not that I have to be honest too, but I am still working, as in like this for me is taking up time because I'm working and that wage that I earn allows me to have the flexibility of having a side hustle. Does that make sense?
100%.
If I didn't work, I couldn't do it. Like
no.
In terms of like our overhead.
And that's like my freelancing.
We need it.
If I didn't do freelancing, I could never keep this up. And if we didn't have that really lucky house sale, there is no way I could have done this.
Yeah. So I think this is why this article resonated with me on so many levels, because I know what it's like when you have an inflexible job and you have a child and you think to yourself, and you're on Instagram and social media all the time, let's be real, at 2 a.m., at 4 a.m., when you're feeding, you're just scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. And the more you look at stuff like this, the more you get served it. And obviously they know you're a mom, like it's like your phone listens, they serve you content. I made $10,000 working from home looking after my baby, you know, and you see all these influencers and you're like, far out, like, all they're doing, like you think, all they're doing is just posting about their lives every day. And maybe it's taken a couple of months, but from one post, it's all it takes. They've boomed. They've got all this flexibility, blah, blah, blah. But you need to be super realistic about
the exception. They're not the rule.
100%. And what is allowing that person as a mother to do that? Do they have a partner that earns significantly more than they do, that can provide a safety net for a period of time while they're on mat leave to do that? Because I guarantee you, if they don't, the likelihood is their thinking is like, I need to go back to work. Like
and my 99% of Australian to continue moms. That is the reality that's now hitting us, that we've had this really lucky period of you know, being able to use a little bit of this money that we earned from that house sale to sort of enable me to pursue this
have
and
more freelance.
But come April, we can't do that anymore. Like our honeymoon period is over. So you couldn't have brought this at a better time because I've jostled with what it's offered me and also what's ahead of me, which is Hayden's like, you know, my income's not enough. We need
this
to
is the reality.
Need some more. We need some more like reliable income. And I'm like, yep, we fucking do.
Yeah. Here I go. So now another reason that Katie's video got such a reaction is because it falls into this growing trend that I'm seeing, which is struggle content.
I love the phrase because I've never heard it, but straight away it's obvious it's what it's talking about.
Yeah, so this is when influencers share their financial or emotional hardships, but in a way that ultimately benefits their brand. And it isn't necessarily a bad thing, don't get me wrong, because they're genuinely going through it. And people crave this realness online, and showing the highs and lows is part of that, obviously. And we're seeing this real movement towards like authenticity. We want to see real people like us. If you are in a situation, which most Australians are, where you're like, fucking hell, this is a slog. I'm parenting. I'm working full time. Childcare is costing me a bump. Food is going up. I'm going to Aldi. I'm trying to save a dollar here, there. Everyone's doing the same stuff. This stuff is relatable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it does raise some interesting questions. Why do some people get sympathy and engagement for financial struggles while actual working mums are told they should have planned better?
Oh, wow, that's a question.
Yeah. Why is it that influencers sharing financial stress often monetize the moment, while for most working mums, financial hardship just means working more hours?
Oh, my God, I don't even have the answer.
You see the parody?
Floored me. You have floored me with these questions, my friend.
Yeah.
God, you get more brilliant by the minute.
It's a weird space, right? Because on one hand, I love seeing people open up about money. Like, I love it. I really do.
Oh, and we should have more money combos.
Yes. And I'm also one of those people, like, I wouldn't say I'm like a tight ass, but I can be quite frugal.
You're so careful. You're definitely not a tight ass, but you're careful. You're exactly the same as my mother-in-law, your auntie. You're generous, but you're careful with your money.
Yeah, like I know I said I might buy an Nata Pope carrier, which is fucking ludicrous.
Yeah, that's off-brand for you.
Yeah, it's off-brand for me. It's not because I like the look of it and I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, it's because I was looking at items that I would actually use for more of an extended period of time and I was like, I do want a carrier. I've got a carrier. It's pretty ugly. I hate wearing it. It hurts my back. And I'm like, I need to buy one anyway. Or I didn't need to buy one. I'm like, I wouldn't mind a new one as a treat to myself. I feel like with two children, I'll more likely wear a carrier.
Oh, yeah.
But then the other part of me is like, dude, there's a whole secondhand market for this. Like,
yes.
It's a 6-month time period. Yeah. What the fuck am I spending that much money for? So I get it. Like, I am not a tight ass. I'm also, I can spend money on big items, but I am more frugal. So I do enjoy seeing like little hacks or little saving hacks or whatever. But I do also think to myself, like, how much are you financially struggling?
Yeah.
Like, and are we in the same boat, really?
I think that's a really interesting space of Instagram and social media, right? Because growing up before the times of social media, you mainly hung around people similar-ish to you because it was in your neighborhood.
Yes.
So you assume a similar socioeconomic status, all of those things, income. You live in the same area. That with it comes with, not always, but for the most part, similar sort of lives. The interesting thing is then that social media opens up to us and people are following Kim Kardashian and hearing about her single mum struggles. And they're going, well, single motherhood is pretty different for you as an influencer as it is for me living in this suburb where I can barely afford rent. I've moved into a spot that actually feels unsafe, but I can't afford to live anywhere else. I'm a woman of colour, which with that brings some real challenges to my safety and to how I'm perceived in the world and the jobs that I can get. And you start to go, no, we're not similar at all. The interesting juxtaposition of that for me is then Kim Kardashian wrong for sharing her?
No.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm
giving this over to you.
This is the big difference.
It's not that we're so much critiquing the person talking about their hardships. It's that you need to apply your own lens to it. You need to apply some nuance to what you're receiving, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. But I also want to point out there is a huge difference between affluent and celebrity status and mumfluencing.
Yes.
Right? Very, very different.
Although sometimes, Lozzie, there wouldn't be as much. I mean, obviously people aren't as rich as Kim Kardashian, but sometimes the mumfluencer will be way richer than anyone realizes, which is what you've sort of been talking. You know what I mean? Like, as in.
Yes.
They are more alike to the celebrity. Do you know what I mean? Like, the disparity isn't as pronounced, but it's there.
Yes. I agree. But if you're typically consuming content from a mum influencer that is somewhat relatable to you, so maybe they're not like cashing in on big partnerships, but they are semi-relatable, I often think
you're on the same playing field as them or in whatever
that
is.
And you think, do you know what? Okay, maybe they've got 200,000 followers. So they're big, but they're not huge. They're doing some content that I really resonate with. Like, I could do this.
Yes, I totally see what you're saying.
But, you know, I think this is why
Moz is like, but you can't. Me.
I mean, you can for sure. But this is what I wanted to kind of say in summary. I actually really appreciate that this person, Katie, put this out there. She didn't pretend things were fine. She didn't try to make it look like she was thriving when she wasn't. And we need more of that honesty, because previous to this whole thing where she says, look, this is what my life is looking like at the moment. We've lived this luxurious life. My partner was on absolute packet. He got my redundant. Now we're fucked. They went to Queenstown on holiday. We're going here on holiday. Blah, blah, blah. Like, her life looked glamorous. It looked like, how is she, like, what a great life. She's just posting content of her family, getting paid for it, rah, rah. But, and it is made to look effortless, but it's anything but. It is a great reminder that behind the curtain of any influencer story may be privileges like a financial safety net that allows them to have that kind of influencer blogging lifestyle that you may not have. And maybe they've got hidden support that you also may not either be able to afford or have at your fingertips. And I think we do, like, I know that I'm all about female empowerment, female in the workplace, but we also need to recognize, like, what is their partner's income?
Yeah. Yeah.
It plays such a huge role. If you're in a partnership, I'm like, I'm not talking about solo parents. If you are in a partnership where your partner is owning a truckload, we have to admit that that allows you opportunities, time 100%. And space, potentially, depending on what your overheads are, that other people just do not have. Like, your entry to market, I'm talking like from a broad perspective, is far easier and far less risky than if you were someone with a below medium household income wanting to give this a trial. The risk is enormous.
And even another layer of that, which is someone's very hard-earned right, I guess, is also that some women that start businesses may have had a really successful career and earned a lot of money, so they could save the money to then start their business in a way that would be really hard if you haven't had a high income before too. So it's like they may have paved their own way for this success, but it still came off the back of them earning a lot of money, which for reasons that might be fair or unfair, you've never been able to get to. So what you've really driven home for me is something that you said in last week's episode, is the idea of be careful how you're comparing yourselves to other people.
Yeah.
This isn't to attack influencers. Like, I think if you're sharing content that people like and people relate to, go forth, my friend. But for the people that sit at home and give themselves a hard time because they can't come up with some sort of creative lifestyle that offers more freedom, interrogate those questions that Loz has mentioned, because there's a very good chance you've got some barriers up that are stopping you from having a more, I don't know, aesthetically pleasing, aspirational life that you want. It's not because you're not working hard. Stay in your own sort of space and don't compare yourself.
And I'm also going to say, like, Luce and I have done it. We've started a podcast. We've grown it. It has been so enjoyable and so fun and so rewarding, but it's fucking hard.
We're the rule, like, not the exception.
It's,
I wish I could say the other way around.
I know.
But we're not.
It is so hard. So if anybody is in the same boat and they're thinking to themselves, why is this taking longer than anticipated? Why do I feel like I'm slamming my head against the wall? Yeah. Why am I looking at all these influencers and all these people doing small businesses that are booming? Mate, you are like 99% of the rest of us. It takes time, and it is consistent hard work day after day and juggling everything else around you. You're doing a great job. Keep at it.
Amen. I was so sure/hopeful that when Posey was a year postpartum, so when I was thinking of like my mat leave is officially ending, that Ready or Not would pay us enough money that I wouldn't have to go find another job, and that is so far from the case. So for anyone out there, as Loz has said, take a load off. Stop comparing yourself to people that might have got a leg up in a way that you didn't. And to those people, we're not bashing you. You go forth, you do your thing. To everyone else, stop comparing yourself.
I mean, how entitled could you be? I truly cannot imagine the amount of arrogance you must have to sit there and complain when you are so privileged to have a person who is willing to provide such a carefree life for you. Let's get real. What do you do all day? Your spouse is taking care of everything so that you can take care of one thing. How complicated could it be? All you do is go to work. For 10 hours a day, you get to live the life of a single, childless, carefree man because your wife was willing to take the financial risk of allowing you to be successful in your career. While she takes care of everything else, she provides childcare services, home cleaning services, medical services, food services, scheduling services, and a list that goes on. And you provide a paycheck? And you have the nerve to call yourself the provider. What is it going to take for you to realize that, bro, everything you have in your life is because of a stay-at-home mom?
How entitled could you be? A TikTok video on stay-at-home motherhood by UPS driver JR Minton has gone viral, but it's not what you first think when you click on it. And as I just watched, Lozzie went from thinking this guy was an F-wit to actually feeling completely at peace with him. Loz, how did this video make you feel?
Okay. Honestly, the first 25 seconds or whatever it was, I was like, you're a douchebag. How dare you slam stay-at-home mums like that? Yeah. Fucking idiot.
He's obviously trying to get a reaction or get people interested, wasn't he, to then plot twist?
Yeah, because, and I've said it before, stay-at-home mums have the hardest job. It is so hard. I value the days that I go into work and into the office because, I mean, I don't know if anybody else feels like this, but sometimes it feels like a mental break. It is exhausting. It's relentless. It is fucking hard work. Like, I still think to myself, even if I had all the privilege in the world to be able to do it, I wouldn't choose to be a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. Couldn't do it.
Amen. I agree with you. I thought that when I was pregnant with Ray, I actually was a little bit almost like worried about what it would mean for my career because I was always so obsessed with the idea of being a mum, but I'm exactly the same. I need a break. I need paid work. I think stay-at-home mums are amazing. As we heard in that Sally Field quote last week, they are hope for the future. They're amazing. But I still have moments where I truly do wonder what I'm complaining about up until those stats that you shared with us last week, because again, that brought context, or was it the week before? I can't remember, but that brought context to a lot of things for me. But yeah, sometimes I do have these moments where I wonder what I'm complaining about. And, you know, it's those times when I'm a bit stressed and offhandish when Hayden walks in the door and he's had a big day at work and I've had a big day with the kids. Why do you think it's so hard to break that narrative that Minton really drives home here?
About stay-at-home moms.
Yeah, just like, why do I still, as a woman that has a podcast on working motherhood and knows all the stats, why is it so hard to challenge that narrative of like, what are you complaining about? Not that Hayden ever says that to me.
Because obviously, not enough men stay at home with their children. That's why.
Yeah.
That's true. But it's perspective.
Yeah.
When you do not have children, when you're 18, maybe you don't have kids, you look at mothers that are
true. It's not just like the secondary caregiver.
It's everywhere. You look at moms that are pushing their pram, playing with their kids.
That looks pretty nice. What are you worried about?
That's so cute. Until you're in it, and then you're in it.
You raise a good point, Lozzie.
And you think, "Fuck, this is hard." Stats show that men typically are not taking the government parental leave that is available to them. A lot of workplaces, up until the last couple of years, didn't have parental leave policies. They had maternity leave policies for the biological, for the birth giver, carrier, whatever. So that's changed significantly, but we're still seeing pretty limited uptake from men, like actually doing that.
It's so
And if you don't do it, if you're not in it, you can't understand it because to be real, there are times when I go for a walk and I have a coffee and I'm like, oh, this is bliss.
Yeah.
But then an hour later, I'm sitting at home with my three children in the future, thinking to myself, fuck this, this is an absolute zoo. Like from the outside looking in, there are glimpses throughout the day or moments throughout the day that probably look really nice and fulfilling and lovely. But the reality is, it is just not like that.
You've just raised a really interesting point of this idea that it's not just in mum-dad dynamics. It's not just that the dad potentially hasn't had enough time with the kids so they don't get it. It's that anyone who hasn't had that experience of mundanity doesn't get it, because so many guests on Ready or Not interviews have said, I used to look at the mums leaving the office at four and think, oh, how lovely, or How lazy. Like, why are they leaving now? There's work to be done, without realizing that they're actually clocking on for their second shift. One thing I feel really strongly about now that once would have made me roll my eyes is that we really can't expect the secondary caregiver to know exactly what it's like if they haven't had that formal parental leave. How do you think we continue to bridge that gap? I feel like we've half talked about it. I want to go deeper. Is the only way, like, it should come from government workplaces, or is it about the dads taking that leave in mum-dad relationships and just stepping up? Like, who is the onus on to bridge that gap of in mum-dad relationships, it mostly being the mum that takes the leave?
I mean, men. I don't know. I think if the action is that men need to take parental leave, then I think men need to be the ones.
They're the only ones that can really change the conversation, aren't they? Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
The onus is on the men for once.
It is. Yeah, it is. And he raises some really valid points, so I have to say. One thing that really stood out to me is that when you do have a dynamic where as the mum you are taking on maybe more admin, more, I don't know, drop-offs, pickups, school lunches, anything that's kind of involved in that realm, if you're picking it up, you're taking it off your partner's plate. So they're not having
exactly
to do
right.
it. And I think that really needs to be called out. And I said this to you before. Rye, my partner, is in a great job. He's able to work for himself. He's doing really well. Super proud of him. But part of the reason he was able to take that leap, and I'm sure like he would say it himself, is because I have in
You've
some way
covered.
Assisted to pave the path to make it easier for him to focus on the things that he wants to do to get started.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I had said to him, hey, I'm really sorry, I can't be flexible in any of those ways. You got to do these pickups per week. We don't have the money to pay
well,
for
like
a babysitter.
I have to travel actually on a Thursday night for my job.
Yeah.
So what are you
sorry,
gonna do?
Can't do that. I'm not packing the school lunches. And I don't mean to say this in a negative way. Like, I think those conversations are still very valid. And there are times that I do say that. But if I was less available to be flexible, that would also make him less able
exactly.
to
the narrative
to
shift
do the
needs
things
to
that
stop
he's
being
doing.
Lucky mum that she can have that flexibility, to lucky dad that he can have the flexibility to pursue his dreams. It's a really good conversation shift. Do you know where
it
else
is.
I think this comes from? And I hate to admit it, but it is from, and I understand it's from those working mums from really lower socioeconomic backgrounds that don't have what we call the privilege, in inverted commas, to be a full-time stay-at-home mum. And maybe they're a bit jealous that some people have less stress in that way, but it doesn't take away from the fact that stay-at-home motherhood is incredibly stressful. Two things can be true. In another video he put up, just to end, J.R. Minton said, I don't help my wife cook. I don't help her clean, do laundry, take care of the kids. None of that. Why, you might ask? Because I do what I'm supposed to do as a father and a husband, Minton explained. I cook, I clean, I do the laundry, I take care of the kids. I can't help my wife do those things because they are my job too, which perfectly ties into what you said. When Ryan does do stuff in the house, he's not helping you. And equally, when you are taking on more of the admin at home, you're taking stuff off him. You're not just doing it. Like, it's not your job. You are taking stuff off his plate. So I think that's really well put. I don't really have a conclusion to this other than go forth, J.R. Minton. Keep making those videos, Dalzy. We love you.
And on that note, signing us off for another cracker of an episode.
If we do say so ourselves.
I'm witching hour.
At the time of recording, it might change by the time this goes live. We're on 98 reviews and I just want to see that go up to 100. Please can you write us a review if you haven't yet? I need an even lovely centurion number. It's very
legal.
There's
nothing worse. At least it's not 97. That number sounds like it sucks.
Yeah, that's a terrible number.
It's not nice off the tongue. Please leave us a review and follow us on radionot.pod and we'll chat to you next week. Adios.